congregation. It's nice to see some faces back and some new faces tonight that we didn't see this morning as well. So it's always a joy to be able to worship with the saints. Before we get started tonight, I know we made mention of two individuals who have placed membership here at the Kissimmee congregation, Gabrielle Clark and Marcia Dunwell Clark. Are they here tonight? If they're here, can they stand up so that everyone can see? I guess they're not. Okay. I just wanted to allow us to be able to see these two new faces who have placed membership here at the Kissimmee congregation. We're certainly glad that they have done so. And when we get an opportunity, I want to encourage everyone to meet them and speak with them and just give them a warm welcome, as I know this congregation is good at doing. We live in a culture that is very large on sports, don't we? We have sports almost every night of the week on Sunday afternoon, and I'm sure today was no different, that many of us were at home in front of the television, just glued to the football playoffs, the NFL playoffs that's going on. Some people are not so into sports, but whether or not we are attracted to sports or we like watching sports, I'm a big sports fan myself. I do not expect everyone to be. But whether or not we are or not, it does not take very long for us to see what teams have chemistry, do we? We could turn on a game any night of the week, and if we are not a sports fan, it would not take very long to see if a team is all together and if they are clicking on all cylinders, depending on the score and the plays that are being done for that. This chemistry of these different sports teams begins with leadership. Every sports team takes on a captain on its team, and this captain is expected to lead that team, to encourage it. When they are in the locker room, they're expected to give talks or to motivate their team to go out and give the absolute best that they possibly can. But when the team selects its captain, they carefully choose a person who exemplifies what it means to be a leader inside and outside of the game. It is very important for players to respect that individual, or his position is ineffective, is it not? They need to trust him. They need to look up to him. They need to support him in his position. A good captain will help his team achieve success by putting himself into action. He is going to lift up his team when they are losing, and they could be losing by quite a bit. His task is to go into that locker room and to make sure that the rest of the team does as good as they possibly can when they come back out of there. Now, it is a coach's responsibility, and a coach is in the same kind of leadership position. But a captain will get down there, and he will get dirty, and he will do everything he possibly can to motivate his team for whatever sport it is. A bad one, on the other hand, will be disconnected from them. He will be disconnected from the other players, and in return, it is going to destroy the chemistry. It does not take very long for us to see that. Just as well, a congregation works in the same manner. We have leaders in the congregation. We have both leaders that have been installed who fit certain qualifications scripturally. We also have spiritual leaders who are able to lead by example, and we can look up to them and be motivated by their influence, things that they do within the congregation. But every congregation has some form of leadership, whether it be good or bad themselves. A leader in a congregation can do one of three things. One, it can maim a congregation if it is a bad leader. But a good leader can also mend a congregation, and they can also motivate a congregation. But when the Lord's church has leaders in certain positions, they will have either a positive or negative effect based on their decisions and based on their productivity. Following the second return from Babylon, as we heard it read a little bit earlier tonight, the Israelites were mixing and mingling with pagan idolaters. Keep in mind, these were people that had been in captivity for 70 long years. They'd come out of this. Some of them learned their lesson with being in captivity. They had repented to God They had done everything they possibly could to fall back into the good graces of God, but some did not. Some, while they were in that captivity, had decided to mingle and mix with the pagans of their day. Look in Ezra chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1, and we see the hearts of many of these different individuals and also the effect that it had on Ezra. Ezra had pleaded with these people to follow God. He was a very righteous individual. He continually prayed to God. But look at the first couple of verses in Ezra chapter 9 and what was going on with this. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites." These are idolatrous people. We go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and we see how there was a law set down of not to mix with them because of the unrighteous nature of which they were. They were practicing idolatry. They were going against what God had commanded them. And yet here are these individuals who were supposed to be children of God, His chosen people, who were mixing with them. He said, "For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass." Did you catch that? Look at the very end of verse number 2. He says, "Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass." Folks, it began with the leaders. They were the ones who started leading by example. They were the ones who were going off, leading by example, mixing and mingling with these idolatrous people. It came from above. What kind of an example did that set for the rest of them? The transgression of Israel marrying these pagan women began with its leaders. Now, the blood itself was not corrupted, but mixing with them would have certainly affect their worship to God. It was pulling people away. It was influencing them in all the wrong ways. Well, this led to Ezra pleading on behalf of his people with an emotional prayer to God. Look at verse number 3. It says, "And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle." That means I literally ripped them off. "I plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonied." He was so taken with this. It affected him so deeply that he literally ripped the hair from his head. He ripped his beard. And he got down on the ground pleading to God. And look at verse number 5. "At the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees, spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, 'Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we," look at this, "our kings and our priests, the leaders of us, have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." He was so thankful that God had not completely wiped them out. He was giving them an opportunity to come clean. "For we were bondsmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken Thy commandments, which Thou hast commanded by Thy servants the prophets, saying, 'The land unto which ye go to possess it, it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the land, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace, or their wealth forever, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, has punished us less than our iniquities deserve. You see, he was so taken with this. This affected Ezra so deeply. He said, God, thank you. You have been more graceful than what we even deserve because we have mingled with these people. You have commanded us not to do this. We have done it. And for that, we deserve to be destroyed. But we're thankful that you didn't. Should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldst not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. For we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. What an emotional prayer. What an emotional petition to God Ezra made because of everything going on, because of this mingling and mixing with these people that God had commanded them not to do. Why? Because he did not like these people? No. It was because they had stood against God. And they were affecting his people in the process. And it began with the leaders, the kings, the princes, the spiritual leaders of their day were doing the very same thing. Those under corrupt leadership are liable to be corrupted. We go over to the New Testament and we see how the Pharisees were a good example of bad leadership themselves. In fact, Christ said of the Pharisees, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch, Matthew 15:14. Christ understood, he knew that there was going to be leaders that were corrupted, that were going to influence other people to follow after them. And these were blind leading the blind. Folks, we need strong leaders in the church today so that that does not occur. And it begins at home. Consider that a home with a socially or spiritually dysfunctional set of parents will affect the children and it will have great influence upon their actions. And we expand that a little bit more to a congregation. Those who have weak elders, those who have weak teachers teaching the Bible classes are in danger of derailing the salvation of its members. We need sound teachers in these congregations, ones who study the Word of God themselves so that they can effectively and successfully teach it to those children. They are absorbing information right now. They're gaining that knowledge that they need. And we need those teachers who care about the Word of God, who spend the time studying the Word of God so that those children can be raised the way that they need to. And it expands to the adult classes as well. We need teachers who care about the Word of God, that will spend time in the Word of God to teach those who are in attendance. We look at Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse number 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Folks, that is imperative, to declare the whole counsel of God. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. He's addressing the elders here to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Leaders in the congregation need to feed the flock. Why? He tells you next in the next verse, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. If we are not careful and do not install the right teachers, there are those individuals who are going to be able to just come right in the doors. They're going to be able to sneak into those classrooms and they're going to be able to teach error to those who are learning and who need to be taught. Friends, we need strong leaders in the church today. We cannot be hasty in who we select as an elder. And we want elders. I know this congregation is always asking about more elders. I know other congregations are needing elders in theirs installed. But at what cost? We cannot be hasty in who we select as an elder. In fact, Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands suddenly on no man. Be careful, he's saying, do not install an elder too quickly. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. We need to make sure that elders who are installed meet every scriptural qualification. And likewise, elders cannot be hasty in who they install as a preacher or a teacher of a Bible class. They need to make wise decisions. They need to be careful in who they select because they are going to be held accountable. But in order for the body to thrive, it needs to have strong leadership. It also needs to have faithful followers. Friends, we need to learn how to lead and be the spiritual leaders that we can be, but we also need to learn how to be led by those spiritual leaders. Folks, leadership can mend a congregation quicker than we know what to do with and more effectively than we know. Ezra called to attention all of these corrupt leaders who are going off and mingling. But look at the next couple of verses in chapter 10. In the first verse, now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandments of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word. And they swear. You see, just as the leaders led by example in all the wrong ways, it was the leaders who were able to begin the healing process of this. They were the ones who were able to come back and do according to what God had done, to right the wrongs that they had been doing. Before the nation could grow spiritually again, it needed these leaders who led by example. Gene Mock, who was a former Major League Baseball manager, once said, you can't lead anyone else further than you have gone yourself. A good leader is going to lead by example. They are going to get down there and they are going to do things themselves in the congregation. Friends, elders are not bosses in a congregation. They're not supervisors. They are installed as a position, a scriptural and very special position by God to oversee the congregation. They need to be apt to teach, don't they? They need to take on certain characteristics. They need to take on certain attributes to make them the elders, the leaders in a congregation that God expects them to be. And we need to trust them. Congregations who are near death or who have been damaged by ignoring Bible authority or are inactive can be restored if the leaders take a proactive stand to put it back in the hands of the Lord. You think about it. Qualifications for elders are established for a reason. They strengthen the worshipers if utilized in the right way. But in return with that, we need to allow ourselves to be led. We need to allow the elders to be elders. We need to respect the authority of the elders as well. I want to give you an example. There's a congregation. In fact, it's the congregation Katie and I just came from. They've gone through, and I mentioned this on Wednesday, they recently had gone through some of the hardest times I think a congregation can go through. They had literally half of the congregation leave because of a situation they had with a corrupt preacher who came into the congregation, who started bad-mouthing people. He tried to get one of the elders on board, or a couple of the elders on board for the dissension that he was sowing. He got one of them on board, started sowing discord behind the backs of many. He started calling people out from the pulpit who did not deserve to be called out. He started ridiculing various members, and because of that, they started leaving. He became a Diotrephes, trying to have the preeminence of being in a position that he did not deserve. He was not an elder. He did not deserve to be an elder. In fact, in my own opinion, he didn't deserve to be a preacher either. He finally left. The congregation slowly started healing. But if it is not for the work and the effort and the diligence of a strong eldership, they would have fallen apart. They're finally rebounding from all of this. But it is because the elders stood firm with one another, the ones who were sound, surrounding these people with love, assuring them that they have stumbled, but they certainly have not fallen, because God is going to see the hearts of His people. They're slowly starting to gain ground again. And I pray for them, because it is a great congregation with great leaders. Folks, that's what a strong leadership can do. That's what a strong eldership can do when we allow them to lead the way that they need to. All of those who are under the eldership need to cooperate and adhere to their oversight. Trust them. That's why they're here. Elders often need to make difficult decisions. There are sometimes decisions that they do not want to make, but they have to. There are sometimes decisions that we do not agree with, but we need to understand that there is a reason behind them. Elders will sometimes have to make the hard and difficult decision to release certain people of leadership positions, of different classes, or release people from doing certain things in the congregation. Why? Because it is personal? No. It is done for the good of the flock. And it can be hard, especially when a preacher has to step down because of that, or a Bible class teacher has to step down because of that. Elders and teachers often establish close relationships with that. And that is one of the most difficult things I think an elder has to do, is go to his friend and tell him it's time to go. It's time to step down. But I'll tell you what, an elder who is able to do something like that loves God first. It's not easy. It is not an easy choice by any means, but it is because they are accountable for their positions and for their decisions. Listen to what Ezra says in verse 14 of chapter 10. Let now our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come to appointed time, and with them the elders of every city and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. He said, let these leaders just do what they need to do so that God will accept us back into His good graces. Ezra held the rulers of the congregation to a high standard. That's what we need to do. They are not perfect. They are going to make mistakes. And sometimes it's not fair with how we hold them up. But they deserve that because they are in these positions for a reason. Friends, the church is at its strongest when it allows its leaders to lead. Not just the elders, but the spiritual leaders that are in a congregation. Those who set the example for the rest of us. Those who are older, who we can learn from, who we can look up to. Those models in a congregation. I know I say that term very loosely because I know most of those who are strong spiritual leaders are humble enough that they do not want to consider themselves models. But folks, you are. And we need to be. And look at ourselves to be the example to those other Christians, or those new Christians, or those outside of Christ, so that they can see the hope that is in us. But we are at the strongest point when we can trust the leaders to lead. When everyone works together, it respects the Lord's church. We become compatible. We work as just a fine oiled machine. Have you ever seen a congregation that just is working on all cylinders? We can be that here at Kissimmee. I know there are many visitors in the midst of us tonight, and you can be that at the congregations in which you go home. We can be that congregation, strong in the faith, working together, being compatible, being unified in the Spirit of God. Leadership knows how to motivate a congregation in ways we could not even imagine. To the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Paul encouraged people when he went to meet them. When he established these different congregations and come back around and meet with them again, he encouraged these congregations he helped to build. He enabled them to stay focused on the truth and in turn reject false doctrine. He rebuked when it was necessary. It was not easy for Paul to do, but he loved God first. He built them up when he needed to as well to reach their spiritual potential. Folks, that's what an elder is going to do. An elder is not just going to constantly tear people down. He is not going to be divisive. He is not going to constantly complain about people in the congregations. They are going to work to build and encourage us, to motivate us. They have a difficult position. But friends, we allow the elders and encourage the elders to encourage others. That's how we are going to be working on all levels together. It's been said that a leader is one who knows the way, who goes the way, and shows the way. The morale of a congregation is raised considerably when elders are proactive, when they say something and they follow through with it, when they are here every Sunday, when they are motivating us, encouraging us to be in attendance. Friends, they're not here trying to get us to come to every service because they want to hassle us or get on our case. They care about our souls. They want us to be in the presence of God for all time. That is why they push us to be at every service, because they care about us. Satan has no chance when the leaders of the church respect the authority of the Almighty and inspire the saints to be active. Stability of congregation are defined by its leaders, just as they have the capacity to maim the congregation. They also have the capability of mending its spiritual wounds. And just as they are able to mend, so are they able to motivate us in ways that we never thought possible. Friends, trust the leaders. Trust those who are in a spiritual leadership position. Thank them. And not just thank those who are in certain offices. Be the spiritual leaders who help strengthen the church by being proactive inside and outside of the assembly. Can I ask a show of hands tonight? Those who have either taught a Bible class in the past or are teaching one now, there's your spiritual leaders. My guess is probably most of the people in here who have raised their hands have never spoken publicly. They don't need to. And yet they are the spiritual leaders in the congregation. Those who are involved in work and service in the congregation. Every Sunday night we have Working for the Lord, where people are more than welcome to go out into the fellowship hall and write letters and call and cards. Many of us have received it. And it has lifted us up, hasn't it? It's edified us. Friends, they are the spiritual leaders in the congregation, the ones who step up and do the work that needs to be done. Those who are able to lead singing and who step into a position that might be out of their comfort zone. They are the spiritual leaders in a congregation. Those who are on the Lord's table are spiritual leaders in a congregation. They are taking part. They are serving in that congregation. They are leading by example. And it does not just need to be old people. We have young men, don't we? Young men who are on the Lord's table, who can be spiritual leaders to their friends and other young people. And the women are included. Friends, the women do not need to speak publicly to be strong spiritual leaders in a congregation. In fact, the strongest women I know lead by example while still respecting their role as instructed by God. Friends, they can lead without usurping authority, just as a man can lead without usurping authority. Women are strong spiritual leaders in the congregation. I want to encourage people to attend the Florida School Lectureship this year. There's an insert in the bulletin this morning and this evening, and it's going to be back in there next week. But I want to encourage you to attend this lectureship. The theme of it is incredible. I haven't seen a theme at a lecture, and I've seen a lot of lectureships, I've attended a lot of them, but I've never seen one that is devoted to women in the Bible, like Brother Brian Kenyon has made with this. What a great theme this is going to be. Do you understand the spiritual value of women? I want to encourage you to attend as many as you possibly can. There are going to be some great sermons presented about women in the Bible who were strong leaders. Some of them were strong leaders in the church, but it was because they respected God. They led by example. Their influence affected so many people like the women can today. Never forget how invaluable these spiritual leaders can be in a congregation who care about preserving the longevity of the kingdom of God. Learn how to lead spiritually and learn how to be led. Leaders in the congregation, though, had to have their start, didn't they? They were not always leaders, and they were not always Christians. They had to do exactly what those first century Christians did in order to become a Christian. They had to hear the Word of God just as they did. They had to obey, have faith in God, but not just have faith. That faith had to be proactive faith, didn't it? They had to continually obey God, doing His commandments. They had to repent, and they still do sometimes, just as we need to do. That means to make a change. And sometimes some of the strongest leaders in the church are the ones who come from the roughest kind of backgrounds. The ones who are not afraid to repent when they know they need to. The ones who do not allow pride to stand in their way or worry about whether or not their sin is so great that God will not forgive it. Folks, God will forgive. They had to confess the name of Christ, and they still do. And just like everyone else who wants to be added to the kingdom, they had to be baptized just as those first century Christians did before they became Christians. This is what added them to the church. Folks, if you are not a member of the church of Christ, He is the only one who owns that church. You can begin that journey tonight. This is also an opportunity for those who may have fallen away to ask for prayers of forgiveness. Folks, please do not be so proud. Please do not worry or have your regret weigh so much on you that you do not want to ask for the prayers of the saints here. God is ready to hear if you're ready to come forward. Who knows what great leaders will come from someone responding tonight. Please don't leave if there is a need to come forward as we stand and sing this song of invitation.